Welcome to this cast from Global Integration. In this series, we'll share our ideas on what is different about working in large, complex, matrix and virtual organisations. These ideas come from our work with over 300 major multinationals and delivering over 100,000 participant days of training in over 40 countries. If you apply these practical ideas, you can make your team or organisation faster, less expensive to run, and more satisfying to work in. You can find out more about us at globalintegration.com or our blog lifeinamatrix.com. In this episode, I talk to Kevin Hall, CEO of Global Integration and author of the book Speed Lead, about managing without travel. Why is this becoming such a trend? How can we prioritise our scarce face-to-face time? And what are the alternative ways to get things done? Kevin, there does seem to be an increasing emphasis on reducing corporate travel at the moment. Why do you think this is?
Well, first of all, let me say that it's really easy to cut travel. Companies do it all the time when budgets are tight. But the real challenge is how to keep things moving, how to manage people, and to get things done without travelling. At the moment, we're experiencing three trends that I think are going to make a permanent difference to the amount of travel that we're able to do in business. The first is cost. The expenses cost and the time involved in travel, particularly international travel, has always been high. But with higher oil prices and increasing business pressure, then I think this is going to become more and more evident. The second is now we start to have some real alternatives. The next generation of video conferencing, some of the new web collaboration tools are providing a more realistic alternative to face-to-face working. And third is the issue of carbon emissions. These have become a real concern for both individuals and corporations, and they're really starting to take this into account in their decision-making on travel.
Ah, so you're jumping on the green bandwagon too, are you? Well, everybody seems to be at it these days.
Yeah, it sounds like that, doesn't it? But I deliberately put carbon third because I think for most companies, cost and efficiency are really the key drivers. However, I have to say I have been impressed with the effort and time that some of our corporate clients are putting into environmental policies. Although I must say this year we've had our first three clients where managing without travel was introduced as a response to a specific carbon reduction target. Now, we've been running remote and virtual teams training for about 14 years, and managing travel has always been an issue, but now we see much more prominent with a particular emphasis on how do I prioritise my face-to-face time, how do I reduce the amount of time and carbon I'm spending on travel.
So how big a cost issue is travel?
Well, I should say we need to balance the cost with the benefit, and I think that some face-to-face contact is essential, particularly at the beginning of teams or when we're building relationships with customers. But I do think there's a tremendous waste of time and effort in internal meetings. If you listened to our previous podcast, Too Much Cooperation Going On, you remember that our research shows that managers spend about 40% of their time in meetings, and a full half of that is unnecessary. Now, we tend to deal with teams that are located in different countries, different places, even different continents, and this can really magnify the cost. And the numbers become so large for big corporations, they become meaningless. But if we bring it down to a practical example, I recently attended a two-day meeting in London. There were 11 attendees, and they came from the UK, the US, Singapore, Italy, and Australia. And during a boring presentation, I calculated the cost. That meeting cost 33 days of time, including 11 days of unproductive travel time. The expenses cost was around $60,000 on travel and accommodation, and the travel produced 19 tons of carbon. With these kind of costs, we better make sure we have a great meeting.
So do you think there are any really good reasons to travel?
Definitely. Face-to-face contact is really essential to getting things done. But we have to realise that in this new world, face-to-face time becomes a scarce resource, and we have to prioritise rigorously. Some of the good reasons that we find, number one is to build relationships. You can do this remotely, but it does take more time. Number two is where you genuinely need participation, involvement, and the interaction of a number of people working together. So things like brainstorming, networking, those kind of things. Thirdly, for one-to-one discussions on sensitive issues. If we're going to be discussing my career or my appraisal, I'd kind of like you to get face-to-face with me. But even that's sometimes not always possible. Fourth, Think about things like celebration and recognition, things that are quite hard to do remotely and are often forgotten. But our experience of facilitating hundreds of remote and virtual teams and projects is that the biggest impact, the number one reason for travel, should be the kickoff of a new team, project or activity. And we found that a well-run kickoff, which prepares you for that remote working phase, can reduce the time spent on a project by 25% or more. So that's really a really good reason for travel and can reduce the need for subsequent trips to solve problems that shouldn't have arisen.
Okay, well, what would you say are the worst reasons for travel? The ones where you should really push back and just say no?
Well, I'd always start by challenging the need for many internal meetings, and I'm sure that you know which ones they are. We all have our list of least favourite meetings, so start with them. I'd also look at the flip side to our good reasons for travel. So if you already know people well, if the purpose is to be presented at or given information in a series of boring presentations without the chance to participate, if it can be delivered through technology, then it's certainly worth challenging your travel and trying some alternatives.
Are there really alternatives that actually work? I mean, some of the tools like video conference that I've used in the past are pretty poor.
I think some of the old video conference systems really put people off, but today there are some real alternatives. Some of the new high bandwidth video conferences with screens that make you feel you're really sitting at a table with your colleagues can provide a much more natural feeling experience, so they work really well. I'm also a great fan of web tools where you can view shared presentations, you can use webcams, you can work on documents collaboratively. When you use these tools together with audio, they can often be more effective than a video conference. There are also a range of Web 2.0 tools like blogs and wikis that you can use to share information and collaborate. And if you haven't had any experience of using these kind of tools, particularly blogs and wikis, I'd suggest trying out a couple of the free trials available on the web on these tools. They're pretty simple to use, and you'll soon see some opportunities to help in the running of your teams.
Do you really think these tools can replace face-to-face contact?
Not completely, no. But I think many of us would welcome fewer business trips. So I think there's both a personal and a corporate incentive around reducing business travel. It's good for costs, it's good for carbon, and it's good for job satisfaction. I think the days when air travel was a pleasure are long gone. It's no longer a glamorous experience. And today there are some real alternatives to travel. But to make them work, we need to choose and use them more wisely. If you'd like to find out more about the skills of managing remote and virtual teams and our Managing Without Travel programme, please check out the Global Integration website.
Thanks, Kevin. Great stuff. Well, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And remember, all of the value of these ideas come from their implementation. Just give a couple of these ideas a try and see if they work for you. You can find out more from Kevin's book, Speed Lead: Faster, Simpler Ways to Manage People, Projects and Teams in Complex Companies. You can join the debate, ask questions or add comments about this podcast at our blog, www.lifeinamatrix.com. And finally, you can see more about global integration, download free articles, or contact us about our consulting and training services at www.globalintegration.com.